Welcome to the Big Rewind number 26. I'm your host, Jamie.
Hello and... Wait, what? What happened? Son of a bitch.
You're listening to 99.999999.
No, it's me.
You started then.
Okay. I'm the host. I'm Adam. I'm the host of the Big Rewind. You're an imposter, sir. But so this is indeed episode 26. I'm with Jamie, the co-host of this nightmare that we call the Big Rewind. And it's the show where we talk about new movies and rewind back to talk about all the stuff and yada, yada, yada. Parrots, penguins and bears.
He calls me co-host because I'm in charge of the cocaine we have to get through this.
I deny that, but... It's not true, so I can't. Let's get moving with the big news!
Donuts is so good!
Okay, the big news. So we've had the BAFTAs, we've had the Golden Globes,
we've had the
Grammys, we've had the grannies, we've had everything.
We've had grannies? Yeah. I don't remember that night very well, but...
Everyone has grannies. But now we've got the Oscar nominations.
Yay!
Which have been released. And
what a big fucking surprise!
So many surprises.
Nothing before December?
Yeah, nothing before December, basically. The nominations for Best Film were... Some of them were predictable, like 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah.
American Hustle.
Yeah.
Gravity.
Yeah.
But there's loads. Like, there's... Her is actually nominated for Best Film as well, which is interesting.
There are a few nominations that we haven't seen yet either, because either they haven't come out here yet, or we just haven't had the opportunity to watch.
True. Well, Her is not out yet. And no. Dallas Buyers Club isn't even.
No, that's this weekend.
Yeah, and Captain Phillips is actually the oldest one probably on this list.
Yeah, yeah.
It came out ages ago.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it feels ages ago, but it wasn't that long ago.
It was
ago.
Probably summer.
Yeah.
Okay. Dallas Buyers Club, yeah. Nebraska and Philomena. Philomena.
Without doing any major research, I think this is like one of the best lists I've seen.
Apart from
like maybe two of those.
It's true.
And obviously, as I just said, we haven't seen them all yet, but from the reviews of the American reviews I've read as well, it's like, it's quite high caliber.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's stuff that's likable as well. American Hustle.
And aren't you glad Counselor's not in any of this?
Oh, I'm so glad. I mean, I was trying to make my best and worst list of the year, and I think Counselor just missed out, actually.
Yeah.
There were actually 10 films worse than The Counselor.
10 films worse than The Counselor.
That's saying a lot, actually.
Wow. Does Iron Man 3 come into that, I guess?
That's the thing. It's still up in the air, because I might see a couple of bad movies from last year just to spice up the list a bit. Because I don't really want to put Iron Man 3 in it, if I can help it, because I might get yelled at.
Well, yeah.
I'm already going to get yelled at because Man of Steel's on the list.
No, come on.
Sorry.
It's not worse than Iron Man 3.
What, Man of Steel?
Yeah.
It's far worse.
No, you're chatting rubbish now.
It's far worse.
You're just chatting absolute bullshit.
Man of Steel, okay.
Mandarin. The Mandarin. Come on.
That was disappointing. But Iron Man 3 was at least entertaining.
No, what are you talking about?
It was. I wasn't...
Peppa fucking Pig doing her thing most of the film. It was horrible.
I agree. But Man of Steel was boring.
Oh, God.
Yeah, nice opening 10 minutes, but fuck. I was bored. I had more fun with The Counselor.
Oh, that's fighting talk. That's proper fighting talk.
And also...
The Counselor was super pretentious and not entertaining.
And also, Man of Steel had a 10-year like wait. I waited for that movie for like 10 years.
Oh, then it's your fault for building it up too much.
Why?
Whereas Iron Man, you're like, I have such low expectations because Iron Man 2 sucked.
I like Iron Man 2.
You what?
I really like Iron
Man
2.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry to have to announce this now. any of our regular listeners, but I'm going to have to end this podcast. And I don't just mean this particular podcast.
I'm sorry I must end the podcast. Adam is right and I'm wrong.
Shut up. And not just this podcast. I feel like I'm going to have to end this series.
Because he just like walks up.
After these recent statements.
This is your house.
Shut the fuck up!
Out. yeah, Iron Man 2 is great. Shut up.
I didn't mean to hit you.
You to watch that movie again and not enjoy it. I dare you.
I probably am going to see it again.
By the time Mickey Rourke slices a racing car in half.
I think I have seen that film twice.
You'll just be fucking having the time of your life.
No.
And then you'll watch Man of Steel again and you won't make it past the first 20 minutes. You'll be like, oh, you're a wizard, Clark. You know, whatever the fuck happened in that movie. It's like, the world's too big.
I'm not.
The world's too big, Jamie.
No. I'm not defending Man of Steel here.
You always defend it.
I'm not defending it as such.
If you love it so much,
My mind has changed on that a few times, that film.
Why don't you marry it?
Shut up. But the thing is it's not worse than Iron Man 3.
It's worse.
No, it's not. It's just not.
It's worse.
It's just wrong.
It's not like 10 times worse, but it's slightly worse. Because I was bored.
It's just where you're
wrong. They got the characters wrong. Iron Man 3, at least you had Robert Downey Jr., who was like, you know, doing...
Just doing Robert Downey Jr.
But he does that well.
I don't give credit to fucking Johnny Depp for doing Keith Richards again and again and again and again. No, and I don't give credit to Robert Downey Jr. for doing the exact same part he's done 3 times.
He does it well.
In fact, it's not even 3 times. I'm sure he probably picked this up in a different film.
What, the...
The kind of persona of Star.
Sometimes, yeah. He's done it a few times, but he does it well.
Zodiac, he's kind of like...
Not as much. He's slightly different, that one.
Soloist.
Soloist, oh God.
No, I'm not a kid.
Like that movie. Nebraska is also nominated.
Yeah.
And directors is basically the directors of those movies.
Yeah. It's always like that, isn't it? It's like, that's why you always get, it's 11 nominations for this film. Because it's like, well, if they're in the best film, then what makes them best? Oh, all the components.
Yeah.
Like screenplay, directing, sound, special effects.
Which is actually where you
get loads of them.
The screenplay and stuff is actually where you get some kind of surprises. Woody Allen himself is nominated.
Oh,
for screenplay.
Yeah.
And Spike Jonze, who wrote Her.
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, he did John Malkovich and stuff.
But do you think...
He didn't do John Malkovich.
Yeah.
Although maybe he did, I don't know.
Do you think it'd be worth having a few more restrictions on kind of who can get nominated? In the sense, like, if you've got best film, can they... It shouldn't be allowed that they can get director and this and that and everything else.
No, but they don't really think about it. Like, yeah. They're just kind of like, that's a good film.
It's not my biggest problem with the Oscars. I think my biggest problem with the Oscars is how narrow-minded it is towards American films.
Yeah, there's that, but they'll
also... No, seriously. No, I don't know if you've got it up on here.
What?
But show me the animation section.
Oh, I don't have the whole section, but I know the...
All of them are American.
No, The Wind Rises is in it. The new Miyazaki one.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's nominated.
Ha ha! I don't know if I believe you.
No, it is. It's not as... I mean, Golden Globes and stuff, that was only American ones.
Yeah.
Like Frozen, Despicable Me and...
Yeah, but okay. But here's what's an insult.
What?
They have a foreign film section.
Yeah.
Why? It doesn't make any sense.
What?
Like, that's its definition. Like, everything else, it's, oh, you did a good job in directing. You did a good job in sound. Oh, you did a good job not speaking English. Like, that's quite insulting, you know? Like, I got an Oscar for not speaking English.
And also, it's usually, like, three. There's, like, three films all over the world.
Yeah.
It should be at least as long as the... Best film.
And it's never Bollywood, is it?
No.
No, it's never Bollywood.
Oh.
Because they can never have fun. In the same reason there's no comedy section, is there?
But I don't even know what they mean by foreign film, because then wasn't Slumdog Millionaire an English film, really? And that
Yeah, you had an English director, predominantly English cast, at least the main people were quite English, even though, I mean, Dev Patel, you know, he has, his family are Indian, obviously, but he himself, I think, was born in Britain.
Yeah, I think so.
So
it's really unclear. I think they need to be more specific and more...
No,
over-encompassing. See, they need to include like the stuff at the beginning of the year. I don't get this still, whole thing about.
I think this particular one, a lot of good films just came out in December. I mean,
yeah,
that's fair enough.
That's fair enough. But
I don't disagree with the list other than Gravity. So
yeah,
So fair enough. You know,
true, but like. They do that every year, though.
Yeah.
They always ignore...
Yeah, no, I know they do, but in this particular instance, I think they've kind of got
They've done a little bit better this year. Yeah, definitely. I mean, even including Blue Jasmine, which came out, I think, maybe summer as well.
Oh, okay.
That's quite good.
Yeah.
But
it'll never be, like, February. They'll never have a film from February last year. You know,
but, no, I don't think 47 Ronin is going to get a nomination. although that was December, technically, as well. One of the surprises was a film called August, Osage County.
I've not heard of it.
I haven't either. Oh. It's not out yet. I mean,
not for us. No.
But apparently it's got Meryl Streep in it. And she's nominated for Best Actress.
Oh, okay.
That came out nowhere. And Julia Roberts is in the same movie, and she's nominated for Supporting
Actress. Here is another thing about the Oscars that I don't like, which you've just mentioned. Gender divide.
Oh.
Why have a gender divide? It doesn't make sense. They're all actors, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know why I say this? It's because it means that at least one of the nominations in each category probably doesn't deserve to be nominated in it.
No, but right?
But if you combine the sections and actually had no gender divide whatsoever, I think that's... It's basically saying that women can only play women well, and men can only play men well. Do you see what I mean?
I don't know. I think otherwise you just have like one really messy section, and if you have like four actors in it and like two actresses in it, what the fuck?
No. But that's, you see, that's the bullshit of saying it's equal. That's not equal opportunity. That's equal bloody marking. That's like, oh, we've got to have a couple of Asian guys in there, and we've got to have a couple of Indian guys in there to make sure we appear that we're being fair. You know, what it's doing. It's saying, so we've got to have four women here, and we've got to have four women there, and we've got to have four women there, and four women here. And it's just like, well, no, if that particular year, five guys were better, then it's five guys, you know, or whatever number. I don't know the numbers they should use.
It's kind of, you know, it's... The politics of it, they can't get away with too much, you know.
It's silly.
It's the Oscars. I mean, most awards have...
I'm saying is that they should be on a level playing field in everything.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Because acting is, as for men and women, is a level playing field in terms of...
Yeah.
You know, at least in terms of the craft. I know not in terms of the money and in terms of... You know, in terms of the draw for audiences, I get that. And
more importantly...
And society shit, yeah, sure.
More importantly, I think the Oscars need to understand it's okay for Meryl Streep to not be nominated. Like, it's okay.
Did she
can just not be that great, like, one year.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay.
Mamma Mia.
I won't be disappointed.
Did she get nominated?
I don't think anyone did.
No.
I think they should have actually been, like... reduced. Like, they should have got... She should have got an Oscar taken away for that fucking movie.
Yeah,
you know how long I made it into that movie before shutting it off?
Oh, I don't know. Halfway through the first song.
Pretty much. Four minutes in. Yeah. It was...
That I feel that way about Moulin Rouge.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's really annoying as well.
Yeah.
Moulin Rouge. But at least he's got that Roxanne song, which is something.
No, because that makes it more painful for me when they pick a good song. Because I love that song, and it's just like...
Are you kidding? Didn't they pick a Nirvana song and just destroyed it?
Yeah.
Oh, that pissed me off more.
Anyway.
Don't like that movie. Anyway, let's move away from the Oscars. This pissed me off.
Yeah.
Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, I know.
It's been pushed back to 2016.
Oh.
I knew this.
Oh.
When they announced it, they're like,
is that going to be same year as New Avengers or something? Or is that 2015? No.
15. That's 15
for Avengers.
Because
they're maybe like, that's why, you know.
Maybe. No, because it's impossible. I knew it. Like, when they announced it, one of the key selling points was that it was going to be soon.
Yes.
And I was like, you'll never get this, like,
out in that amount of time. Yeah. Yeah.
And
they only just announced one actor, and then they were like,
I know. And yeah. I like the studio, what they tried to do. They were like, all right, so Batman Superman is not coming out, but in its slot, we've put something. We've put the new Peter Pan movie.
No, you shitting me.
And it's called Pan.
It's just called Pan?
It is.
Pan. As in frying pan.
I know. Pan.
P-A-N.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
And everyone was just like, yeah, that's the save. Thanks. So that means that in 2016 we'll get Batman, Superman, and X-Men Apocalypse.
Okay.
It's a good year.
God.
I hope so. Yeah. It'll probably be shit.
No, but do you know what? I really hope that we have a resurgence. And we kind of did in a little way. But a resurgence of actor, character-based films.
Mm.
Right? Yeah. Because, I mean, for the first time, for us too, for a very long time, we went to the cinema to see Wolf of Wall Street. And it was sold out.
I know.
Like, that's the first time I've seen our particular cinema. I know it's very, you know, niche.
Yeah.
Sample.
There's such a small handful of, like, indie movies about, like...
Yeah, but that particular weekend, at least in the UK, you had 12 Years a Slave was on, you had Wolf of Wall Street, and you had American Hustle.
Yeah.
And it meant that each of those films, because they all got loads of hype and have been represented fairly well in their nomination.
What is it with the UK just giving us all the Oscar nominees at the last second?
Like, I know. But it meant that each of those films only had like 6 showings a day each at our multiplex, right? So it meant that they did sell out. Like, by the way, it wasn't just that film that sold out. When I went to the cinema to try and watch it, all the films were sold out.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think, I really hope that shows studios that you don't need Lone Ranger. That you don't need Thor necessarily.
No one needs Lone Ranger.
You don't, yeah, no, you don't need 47 Ronin. You don't need these films, right? Pacific Rim's an exception. But like, you don't need those to bring in audiences to get the Avatar numbers. Yeah. Because ever since Avatar, everyone's been trying to do a new Avatar, like true, in terms of financial success.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? No one's been able to do it. And I'm just hoping that people are going to realize it's not what we want as audiences.
Yeah.
Right? So,
come on.
Maybe they'll learn.
I Frankenstein's coming out soon. Come on.
That's going to be such a flop.
It's going to be...
I want to know how much that film cost. What? Because we know already it's going to be a flop. Yeah.
Because they made it 3D as well, so it's like, well done.
Yeah.
Good call. I like how they're like, all these Oscar movies, and then I, Frankenstein?
Yeah, and it's coming out at a really weird time, isn't it?
I know. No one's going to see that.
No, of course not.
I am.
But... not everyone's, like, because you know with a lot of the Oscar films, they're going to be on at the cinema longer.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to be well into early February.
Because it's
you're going to get a lot of these nominations.
Because there's the standard, like, audience.
Mm.
They're not like us. They're not going to go every weekend to see a movie.
No, of course
really.
Not. Of course not.
So they're not going to go see American Hustle.
So they pick carefully.
Yeah, they're not going to see 12 Years a Slave, American Hustle. Yeah. Wolf of Wall Street.
No, but they will see one of those.
They will.
That's what I'm saying. It's like everyone that I know has at least seen one of those.
But they're not going to go see I, Frankenstein.
No, of course not.
Even if you're like asking someone on a date.
No.
And you're like, let's go see I, Frankenstein.
No.
Like, you'd just be like...
No, you don't want
to... Why not Wolf of Wall Street?
To be honest, if you think about those three films you just said, would you take a date to any of those three? It's like Depression.
Yeah,
I know. You know, American History and naked drug taking.
Yeah.
You know?
There is a lot of naked drug taking in that movie.
You know, so...
If anything...
American Corruption, sorry, not American History. American Corruption.
If anything, the safest one is like... Gravity? if you want to annoy your date.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, her's a romantic movie.
Yeah, I guess. Her's
the... But the Nebraska is good. Nebraska is good, but it's depressing.
Is the most pretentious title of the year been nominated?
What, Blue is the Warmest?
Yeah, Blue is the Warmest.
We were trying to do, like, come up with indie movie titles the other day, and we were just like, the smile that raised the clouds.
Yeah, or like, Summer is the coldest month.
That's awesome, actually.
Just everything wrong with the title. That's all you have to do. You have to just say three words that are all wrong.
The heart is where the heart is.
No. Oh, good. All right, enough. I'm going to...
Good times. No, it hasn't been nominated. Maybe for foreign film. I'm sure it has.
Okay.
More Batman news. Because
that's better. That's going to cheer me up.
Because it's me.
Unless you say those words.
What?
JJ.
No, I'm not going to talk about J.J. Abrams. When have I ever talked about J.J. Abrams?
You love to talk about J.J. because it fucking annoys me.
I have no J.J. Abrams news. Gotham, you know that TV series, that Batman TV series they're going to do, which is focusing on Gordon.
Yes.
Which I'm really looking forward to.
You could be good.
It will be directed by Danny Cannon. That's a good name.
Yeah, it is.
It's an explosive name.
Oh, God.
And you know who Danny Cannon is?
No,
you
I
know
don't.
What he directed in 1995?
Alias? Babylon 5?
No. What? Alias? That's JJ.
Yeah, I know. Did an episode, I don't know.
No, he did... I Am the Law.
Really?
Yeah, he did Judge Dredd.
Oh. Good times. Not great.
It's not too promising. But he's done some good stuff as well.
All right.
Although I do like Judge Dredd. But apparently they've said that the series will include origin stories of classic Batman villains.
Oh.
I know. I'm really looking forward to that.
That's difficult.
It's difficult.
No, that's really difficult.
No, not really.
Because a lot of the origins involve Batman directly.
I know, yeah. That's
he
the
creates
thing.
Some of his own villains.
It's like they can't have... I mean, they can't have... Harvey Dent in there.
Yeah.
But they can't have him becoming Two-Face. Like, you can still have
him
in
there.
Can
you have Riddler? That's the thing. I don't think you can.
You can. You just need to have him be a character, but not turn into the Riddler.
Although, no,
you can't.
I don't think you can have...
No, but like, you can have Harvey Dent working for the government, maybe having a slight personality disorder.
But I just hope it doesn't mean that they have all the shit ones. That no one cares about.
Why? It'd be good to see them on screen.
Like Calendar Man. Yeah, like, let's have Calendar Man coming
like,
to our show.
Oh, wasn't there one called Professor Pig? One of the worst ones.
Yeah, there's
I wouldn't mind that. Because you see them on screen.
I guess
you could
do...
Oh, Egghead.
You could do Croc, I guess. Killer Croc.
Yeah, there you go. No one cares about fucking Killer Croc.
Well, no, he's an easy one to do.
I know.
You know?
I never liked
it. But they can't do Bane, can they? I mean, and I only mean that not because of actual...
No.
Not because of actual lore in the Batman universe, but because of the films.
Yeah, I don't think you can have Bane, because he's really, like, he breaks Batman's back. That's the only thing people know him for. But you can have the Joker just be Jack Napier or whatever.
Yeah,
Just be before... Yes,
you can have Falcone. I think you could do Falcone. I think
There's a good bunch. That could do.
The thing is,
you can have Black Mask, except
Black Mask would be really good
before he becomes, because he's meant to be Bruce Wayne's business partner.
And
he goes crazy.
That's the thing. I hope they focus. Maybe with this, I hope they focus more on the sort of a detective story thing, rather than being slightly supernatural like Batman can sometimes be.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, just root it a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, I always prefer when it's down to earth. Down to earth.
Yeah, but the other thing is there has to be corruption.
Yeah.
It cannot be, you know, black and white. If they make this black and white in the series, it's going to flop and it's going to be
terrible. No, they can't do a type of, like, CSI type of thing.
Yeah.
It needs to be more, I guess, like 24. But obviously on a small detective scale, in that
it's
there's corruption
be a bit more
on every
like
level.
X-Files.
Maybe
not in the supernatural sense.
No, but
in the detective sense, where sometimes episodic. Sometimes they don't necessarily know whether it's the government that's fucking with them or if it is something that's not real or if it's something alien. They don't know all the time and it's a bit vague, but it's there is corruption in the team.
But it is promising that you'll get to see at least some Batman villains in there.
Even
if they're not like in full costume, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because they're interesting enough characters that even before
they hope it's not massively low budget like the Avengers.
Oh, no. Or thing. The fucking Dust Till Dawn series, which looks really no budget.
Yeah.
Makes Machete look like 100,000.
But they, like Sarah Connor Chronicles was quite low budget, but apparently it did quite well. I've seen it. Sarah Connor Chronicles. Which is hard to say, by the way.
Yeah.
Say Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Sarah Connor Chronicles. No, but it didn't look too bad.
Yeah, okay.
It didn't look, the robots looked okay. Well, I thought anyway. At times. But yeah, what else do we have? J.J. Abrams.
No, is it Star Wars stuff?
Yeah. He's just said that the script is done. The script is done.
Oh, good. That gives us at least a year or two to, like, prepare for this abomination.
It's going
to
be awesome.
Yeah. Do you know what? I watched a South Park episode last night where they arrest George Lucas and Steven Spielberg for raping Indiana Jones.
Oh, I remember this one,
right? But in that, right, they catch them raping a stormtrooper and they say that, oh, yeah, we found the dead body of Yoda in his house and stuff like that. And I just thought, oh, my God, it's so apt. It's so apt because it's just, oh, they're going to do it again. I mean, I know it's not directly them, but they still own Lucas still owns the license to that. He's the one who made it available to be made again.
Because Trey Parker, I think, was particularly pissed off with Indiana Jones. He was like, what the fuck is that? And I think that's what most people...
I know, like, throughout that whole episode, people just start crying. Like, just people like...
Wow.
Oh, dear. It's really funny. It's really funny.
Yeah, I mean, there's worse films than that movie, but...
No, but it's of course there are worse films, but it's childhood memories.
It's Indiana Jones. There's one critic that said it best. Indiana Jones should be glorious.
Yeah.
Really.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, like the film isn't like terrible, but Indiana Jones should be glorious. You should be there like going, oh, this is awesome.
It is, for me anyway, just personally, it's as if they would make a sequel to Taxi Driver.
Oh, fuck.
Come on,
at least we escaped that fucking Raging Bull sequel.
Yeah, or a sequel to Blade Runner, which I know that's might be made.
I think so. I think that's
happening. That would make me cry. That would really make me cry.
Don't remind me of that shit. Now let's go to something a bit more upbeat. The big review for this week.
Yeah!
Come on.
I'm doing it wrong. What was I doing? I'm sure I was doing something like from Ace Ventura.
You were like, alrighty then. No, I don't know what the fuck you were doing. We were doing was...
We were trying to redo Matthew McConaughey in his 5 minutes of screen time.
I know.
You know?
Playing the role that if this had been made in the 80s, you just know Christopher Walken would have played that part.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, The Wolf of Wall Street is what we're reviewing this week. The new Martin Scorsese film.
Yes.
And it was awesome.
It was so awesome.
It was.
If you want to see a film where they combine Scarface and Citizen Kane, you'll love this film.
With like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, because there's so much fucking drugs in there.
Yeah.
Although Scarface has enough drugs to fucking...
He has a mountain. Yeah, he has a mountain. Al Pacino's like,
oh yeah.
Anyway.
My little friend. There he is. It's like, oh, you have a pet. His name is Tika. No, that doesn't happen.
He's referring to the name of my cat.
Yeah. It would be great if he... Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Anyway, so...
Yeah, Martin Scorsese, for me, is back on top. Like, this is his best film since fucking... I mean, I think... I really like Shutter Island.
I loved Shutter Island.
But this was more substantial. Like, there's so much more.
Him and Caprio. Him and Caprio.
Yeah.
All the way.
It's kind of... I mean, it's hit and miss, I guess. But, like, Gangs
of
New York.
No, Caprio grew up.
Yeah.
He grew up.
He's really
good. Once he grew up... And I think he... For me, he grew up in Shutter Island.
Yeah.
Or at least the appearance.
I'm actually kind of rooting for... I mean... I want the guy from Nebraska to win, Bruce Dern to win Best Actor.
Really?
Because it's a really subtle and kind of quiet performance.
Okay.
But
yeah, I mean, this is insane.
But if DiCaprio wins it, I don't mind. Like, because he really does.
Even after seeing this, do you know what? Neither of those.
Oh, really?
Neither.
Who do you want to win?
Bale.
Really?
Yeah. I really liked his performance.
I liked his performance as well.
I loved that character. I love the character. I really felt for that character. Now, I know... I'm looking at it from much more of a personal aspect than, say, a performance aspect.
Yeah.
And it's not to denigrate anyone else's performance, but just for me, the connection I had with Christian Bale's character and the way that he did it was much more powerful for me.
Okay.
Because it was like, sometimes it's easier to do a more flamboyant character like DiCaprio had to do.
Definitely.
And again, I don't want it, it's not an insult in any way, but it's also why Cage never gets nominated. Because, you know, he can do insanity really well.
Uh-huh. Well.
Yeah. And I just, Christian Bale's character was more subtle, like what he had to do was more
definitely,
subtle.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He didn't always do what I expected him to do.
True. I mean, that's more to do, I guess, with the writing.
No, but, I know.
But the performance as well. Like, it's a quiet, there's like, he's like, there was a strength to it, and there's also kind of a fragility to it. I really like his performance.
One of the first scenes in American Hustle whereby. Bradley Cooper touches his hair. And you really feel fear.
That's one of my favorite scenes of the year.
But it doesn't happen. And Christian Bale pulls off that. You know, to be honest, it's like, as a combination scene of those three actors doing really well, that's the one.
Because that scene says it all about each character.
Exactly. Yeah, it sums up a lot really quickly.
I know.
About the behavior and the different types of... actors that they are.
I know. I mean, I really, it's rare. It's one of the only scenes this year where it sums up everything so well in one moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really like that movie as well. But it's just the De Niro aspect of his performance. I know what you mean.
Like, there's a slight derivative.
It takes away from the originality a little bit, but that was kind of the point of performance anyway. But it's a good...
because it had De Niro... come in, and then it was De Niro v. De Niro.
Yeah, that was weird.
for a short moment. They exchange maybe... They don't exchange any words. Maybe like, Bale never says anything back to him,
I don't think so.
No, not maybe really.
Maybe one line.
They don't really talk to each other.
Because it would have been too weird, maybe.
Yeah.
But back to Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes, sorry.
This is the story of a douchebag who goes to Wall Street to become... What does he do early on?
No, you're underselling this. This is the American dream. This is, I want to get rich.
Yeah.
And quickly, right? Two things that Americans do very, very well, whatever it is.
True.
You know, even if it's something bad, they get it done quickly.
Yeah.
Right? And it's an amazing critique on American society.
The guy found a kind of a loophole in,
as insane as this film is, I get that, and I, of course, this is not directly related.
Well, he actually says it at one point. What's the name of that company? Stratton Oakfield
or something.
Maybe
Oaken.
Anyway, well, he says something like Stratton Oak, whatever.
Yeah.
Is America.
Yes. Like, yeah. During one of his speeches. It does. And well, it can't be more obvious than that. No, because at least in the context of Wall Street and their economic system, yes, that is. That is very much so. I mean, it's not to, like, be completely... It's not an anti-American film.
No.
I wouldn't say that at all. Because...
Because you still have a good guy in there. It's sort of an
anti-capitalist film.
Yeah, yeah.
Really.
Because you still have the FBI agent.
Yes, yeah.
He's a good guy. Like, yeah. I mean, he does his job. He doesn't mind, like, taking the...
No, but yeah, but then the end of the subway film completely undermines his position.
A little bit, yeah.
Completely. Sure. I mean, DiCaprio... obviously, spoiler alerts to all of us. I don't know why we say it each time, but we must do.
Of course, yeah.
At the end, loads of spoilers. Yeah, at the end of the film, when DiCaprio is in prison, his life is still better than the FBI agent.
Of course, yeah. That's the thing.
And it's just, what's the point of being that guy?
With all these deals and corruption, then it's just like, yeah, there was no real... He didn't make an impact, really, that FBI agent. A little bit. Like, he caught a lot of people. But
so what?
Their lives are still in the same position.
Yeah, they were before.
DiCaprio doesn't have a yacht anymore, but he's, you know, still rich. And it's...
But the thing is, that's where it goes, when it's different from real life.
Yeah.
Because in real life, DiCaprio character doesn't get arrested. Doesn't get put in prison.
It's true.
They just pay a fine and go scot-free. Yeah. Which is an opportunity that happens in the film. But that's what would have happened, really. Yeah. Because cannot remember the last CEO or high-end executive of a Wall Street bank or company or whatever that has been arrested.
Yeah.
Major freaking fraud.
Because the film suggests many things. And it suggests that you can't make money with that business without just doing dodgy
dealings. No, yeah, no, absolutely.
Like, the whole business itself depends on that.
The financial gain outweighs the morality of any individual decision.
Of course.
And
which is very capitalist.
Like, yeah, no, absolutely. And you actually make wrongdoing a risk. You just make it part of the risk factor. So you can essentially mathematically calculate the risk of doing something immoral.
Yeah.
And it's because you can do that, because you can make it, as I say, a rational choice, you're going to go with the one that benefits you most. And
because it's all this shit you do over the phone, so you don't see the people you're hurting, like, on the other side.
No, absolutely. And
you never even see them in this
movie. A very much an Ayn Rand film, in a sense. It's very much a or what's been co-opted into that universe, the selfish gene type thing.
Yeah.
And that's why I really love this film. I mean, it's a critique, but you love DiCaprio. Yeah. No one hates DiCaprio.
He's hard to hate.
Yeah, no one hates him.
Although, okay. I mean, you do not want him to get away with it. Like, I didn't want him to get away with it. Like, when he hits his wife and shit, like, you're just...
I wasn't expecting that. I really wasn't expecting that.
You lose respect in him quite quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I get they needed to have a climactic scene of the family.
I mean, I could see him do that. I mean, he's just, you know, completely full of drugs, and he's angry, he's just a horrible guy, really.
Yeah.
Because if you ignore morality for so long, you just lose your...
Yeah, but the thing is I thought his weakness was love. I thought that was supposed to be, at least in his world, that was supposed to be his weakness was the love of one woman. Was more important, but then he loses that.
He loses even that.
Yeah, he loses that, and
he still had kind of a heart at that point.
Yeah,
but no.
By the way, there is absolutely no way we can talk about every good bit in this film.
No, it's a long fucking movie.
This is an epic film.
I'm just checking.
It's 3 hours long, and it has golden scene after golden scene for ages.
Yeah, it's relentless.
Though there are a few inconsistencies in it. At least in terms of style and in a few little plot points.
Honestly, as if you look at it as a whole, they're nitpicks.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to ruin the movie.
Oh, yeah. No. I am literally nitpicking. But
no film's perfect anyway. No. But, yeah. Well, except
Citizen. Okay.
I mean, even that, I guess, there's probably a couple of moments where you're like... Yeah. we probably know this. It's not... Although, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
But... I guess the old age makeup looks a bit dated.
Eh. What? Forget that.
On Orson Welles? Come on!
It doesn't matter.
I'm trying to find flaws in that movie. It's not easy, all right? No. Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah, there's... I mean, I mentioned earlier, Rob Reiner plays DiCaprio's dad. And they make a big deal. Like, they really have fun introducing him.
Yes.
They're like, oh, he's really angry because...
Yeah, they have a real sort of Pulp Fiction type moment.
Like, he's really loud and really angry. Mm. And then when he's on the phone talking business or whatever, he's really calm.
Yeah.
As soon as he hangs up the phone, he goes apeshit again. Yeah, yeah. And then he's kind of angry later, but then that fizzles away. Like, he just becomes, by the end, he's just Rob Reiner. Like, he's a normal guy.
Yeah.
So that was
they don't explore it very well.
Not too much, no.
But they introduce so many people.
Like, I thought they were gonna, like, when DiCaprio refuses to leave the company.
Yeah.
I thought Rob Reiner was going to go apeshit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He was and like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he doesn't really.
He doesn't really. He tries to call him back. But what was the other thing we talked about? The note at the end.
Yeah, there's a note which is used to incriminate DiCaprio.
Yeah.
But even saying that, the note doesn't seem to have much effect. Like, they use it as a plot device. But then he still gets the same amount of prison time as he was going to get anyway. Yeah, even by cooperating with the FBI.
It's kind of unclear what happens to Jonah Hill at the end of that movie. I guess he got sold out as well.
Because
he said he sold out everybody.
Except him. I thought that was supposed to be the point.
I thought so too. And then I was just like, but like, why wouldn't they arrest him? Because they know that he slipped him a note. So... that must mean there's something dodgy going on. If you write to someone, don't incriminate yourself, that means there's something
but that's not evidence of wrongdoing.
It's enough evidence
It's the point. Yeah, you can point to that, but you can't say, oh, then that means he did this.
No. You can't have a definite answer on that. But you can... That's enough to get him in for questioning, but...
Yeah, of course.
As they've shown, that doesn't work, really.
No. That was a good scene.
There's a scene where the one guy is just stuffing his mouth with food during a questioning session. The other guy is just, like, changing the subject.
Yeah, I can't recall anything. Literally, I can't even recall what I did yesterday.
I like the guy's just, like, nodding. He's just like, no, I don't know what the fuck.
Yeah.
I was just checking to see if Jonah Hill is nominated for Supporting Actor.
Yeah.
And he is.
Yeah.
He
is. Oh, yeah.
And deservedly so.
Oh, I think he deserves it.
He deserves. Let me have a look. Who else is nominated? Mm. Oh, Bradley Cooper.
No. Jonah Hill for me. Jonah Hill.
Probably. No,
Cooper
for me
was
as well.
Really good, but he took it.
That's it. I mean,
he took it for me when he started jacking off at the party
in broad daylight
in front of everyone.
Fucking
and
hell.
Pulled that off amazingly.
Yeah, literally. Pulled it off. Nice. But having said that, I've heard that Michael Fassbender is really good in 12 Years a Slave.
Okay, alright.
And I've heard Jared Leto is good in Dallas Buyers Club. So fuck, we need to see these movies before we can talk about this. But as it stands, although I think Bradley Cooper was awesome in American Hustle, I do want Jonah Hill to win it because he was fantastic.
Brilliant.
So good. Like, all the way through.
Yeah. He fit the part.
There wasn't one moment in it where you're like, oh, you suck. You know, he's just like perfect.
Yeah.
There were some surprises.
He was such a douchebag.
Such a douche.
Oh, he really was.
They all are.
No, I know, but like his one scene where he's like, he got punched. Like the scene after that where he's trying to give money.
He just goes to his head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just goes to his head. I mean, even early on, he's just like he married his cousin.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, because he doesn't want anyone else to get with her. Like, yeah. That's insane.
And then he tries to push that off as a joke, but it's not.
It's not, no. And then the first thing he does is like smoke crack with fucking DiCaprio. He's just like
that. See again, there that was. Stop it! There's so many. There are so many good, even I know. Little scenes or epic scenes.
Even that
speeches
bit,
and stuff.
That bit, they just smoke crack and then they just run out.
Yeah,
and that's the end of the scene. They're just like, let's run. Let's just go and run.
I get okay. Another nitpick for me is the sense of time in this is a bit off. It's not always obvious that a certain amount of time has passed. Yeah. And they did it really well at the end of the film. The pause between the prison and then him doing seminars, that's a really good indication of time in scene and look and feel and everything, right? By his performance and everything. But throughout the film, it does jump around, obviously, because it has flashbacks.
It's because it's so fucking fast.
Yeah, I know. But it's just
there's not enough time to register that 3 years have passed or something.
Yeah.
At one point when they're like, this company has been around for 5 years, I was like, just 5 years?
Yeah.
Or like 3 years or something. And I was just like, Jesus, all this happened in that time?
But like the film starts with him being 22.
Yeah.
And you kind of imagine he'd be 30.
I thought they were going to spend...
30, I think, or a bit older than 30 at the end of the film.
I thought they were going to spend more time with him working for, what's his face? McConaughey.
Yeah, McConaughey's in this and he's amazing, by
but the
way.
Company goes under, doesn't it?
Yes.
Overnight.
It
just happens. So that's fair enough.
Black Monday, which actually happened,
which is,
by the way.
Yeah. Was it 87? I think so.
Yeah, 87. Yeah.
But I thought they were going to...
19th of October, 87.
I thought they were going to go back to McConaughey near the end and just... Yeah. He's like completely... Or maybe he's still rich or something. No matter what happened.
Or maybe that's the beginning of the Dallas Buyers Club.
Maybe, yeah. It's all prequel to that.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't see him because he gets AIDS.
Yeah.
And then he leads up to Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah. Spoiler alert to Dallas Buyers Club.
What? It's in the trailer.
Not that we've even seen it.
I don't know. I mean, HIV.
They specifically say...
Do they say
it? Yeah, I think they specifically say it because they give him a time limit, don't they?
Everyone has AIDS. That's the theme song to Dallas Buyers Club.
I know, but as annoying as that was, that's exactly what I went to as well when I saw the trailer. And I hated myself for
I know. Shame
thinking
on
that
you.
First because I was just like, that was a really serious moment.
I know. I have to say that trailer, it did intrigue me. I do want to see that movie.
Yeah, I do. I really do.
It's a... Looks an interesting story. Based on a true story, but it's it looks good.
Yeah.
What was I going to say about... there were some surprises in Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes.
One of them is Jean Dujardin.
I'm not even going to attempt saying that name.
Jean Dujardin, who won Best Actor for The Artist.
Yes.
Nowhere near his best film, or even his best French film.
Yeah.
Everyone go and see OSS 117.
Yeah.
Fantastic film. Yeah, he's in this movie and he plays a Swiss douchey banker and he's awesome.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
But as you told me, not that I would know, he's too French for the role.
He's really... like, that's the beauty of Jean Dujardin is that he's so fucking French.
But credit to him, he learned English.
Yeah, so fast.
Like...
In two years.
In 2 years, he learned English.
Yeah, now you can actually...
To the level that he's got it down at.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he still has a strong French accent.
Yeah.
But he's about on the level as Marion Cotillard is.
Yeah.
Like, although Marion Cotillard, still, she's going to play Lady Macbeth. I can't get over that at all. She's going to do a Scottish accent.
Come on. All major actors end up doing a Shakespeare film at some point or another.
Even
they end up
fucking Robin Williams did a Shakespeare
they
film.
They all do. They all have
Billy
to
Crystal
do
did.
Yeah, either on stage or on film, they tend to always do one, you know.
Crazy shit. But, he was great in the movie. Mm. And also Joanna Lumley's in the movie.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised.
That was a surprise. She fits
She fits the part.
Yeah, she fits the part.
But I was surprised she was in a good movie after those horrendous adverts she's been
doing. Yeah, I know, for Sky.
Was it Sky or Virgin?
I'm not sure. It's Sky. Sky.
Well, her thing in it is like She's basically meant to appeal to older demographics. Like, I don't know how to use computers, so I'm going to use an iPad. Because it's much easier.
Yeah,
when it's really not. Like,
yeah.
Older people, but iPads.
The thing for me, though, I mean, I know they picked her because she was British and, you know, fine with that.
Yeah, she's a good actress. Usually.
She's not... She's no Susan Sarandon. You see, that's the thing. Susan Sarandon, for me, can still pull off kind of sexy.
True.
Do you know what I mean? But promiscuous.
I know, but like, I don't know if that's what they were going for. Because it's like, that's what makes that scene so awkward.
I guess.
Because it's just like, you don't really know what that scene's about. It's really weird. It's like, DiCaprio thinks this woman's hitting on him. Mm. And
she was. That's the thing. It's
she
like,
was a little
she
bit.
Was.
But then she's acting weird, and she's thinking.
I don't just mean that. I mean by. I also mean by the line that she had, where she said, "Oh, you've got some donut sugar on your nose, and it's actually cocaine." And and she goes, "It's okay. Enjoy yourself. I lived through the 60s."
Yeah.
So I was expecting her character to be a bit more open-minded. And sort of in a lot of different ways.
And to be fair, she is open-minded.
No, yeah,
considering
no,
what happened.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying that there was a couple of other actresses I was thinking, you know, pull that off a little bit better. That's all. But not to discredit her at all. I think she did a fantastic job. But I mean, she doesn't have much screen time anyway. She had two scenes.
It's a minor character, so.
Yeah, it's fine.
Minor character that turns out to be really important
in terms of the plot,
On there, well, I'm not gonna say anything, that happens, but the biggest storm to ever hit the Mediterranean,
what is with that
ever happens in this movie?
I'm sorry, I need to actually do some climatologist research.
It turns into the fucking. Perfect storm.
It's perfect storm.
All of a sudden.
In the Mediterranean between Italy.
Where were they? Because they were meant to be in Italy.
Yeah, they were meant to be in Italy. Maybe Sicily. I don't know. But and then they want to go to Monaco.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, that's fine.
Why do they need to get so far away from the coast? I don't understand.
I don't, it doesn't make any
sense.
They
don't need to.
I think this is another case, and they do this a lot in American films, where they're like, no, Americans gonna fucking know what the route or anything about it because it's so far away from America, you know, because they did that in Thor, you know, in London, and I don't know.
It seemed
a bit out of place.
And then they look out the window of the yacht, and a plane just explodes.
Yeah. Now this is the thing that
I don't know.
That's all meant to give justification to DiCaprio's. Change of heart. He starts to have a bit of a sort of. He starts to believe in fate almost,
a little bit.
At first, and then he completely destroys that. But so he kind of starts to. He goes sober, of course. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't show the process of that, it just happens.
No.
Which is interesting because.
It's where you could have had your montage.
I know. You could have your limit.
Yeah, you don't really have your proper montage in this film.
Because it's hard to believe that this guy would become sober so quickly, considering the amount of fucking stuff he puts up his nose.
The music's good, but every now and again they did have one that was out of place in terms of era, I believe.
Oh, yeah?
Because I think they had a 90s pop song,
They had some 90s rock in there.
Yeah,
eventually, which is like it's a bit off.
Sometimes it was very minor, to be honest. Yeah,
that's why sometimes it made me think like, oh, is this 10 years later? Like,
yes, that's what I meant about the sense of time as
I
well.
I did feel that as well.
Like, you know, push it to the limit is
perfect.
Yeah,
it's just perfect in every way.
Well, no one knew that song, to be honest. I mean, that was a completely unknown song before that.
We should probably cut this short. Wolf of Wall Street.
Highly recommended.
Highly recommended.
Highly.
It's a great, great movie. Very funny.
Yeah.
There's loads of really funny moments. It's relentless, so you won't be bored. But it's a long movie, so I would say don't go to the cinema too late. And if you're going to go early, don't plan anything for the rest of the fucking day.
I know.
Like go in the morning or something. Yeah.
Because there's a lot to process. It really is a film that it might be a day later, a couple of days later, but you'll think about it. Some of the ideals and stuff in it, and it will affect your conversations, which is a truly good mark of a film.
Here's a question: if you can only go see Wolf of Wall Street or American Hustle, which would you pick?
Oh, come on. But you're not going to see both.
No, average audience members just going to see one. Which would you recommend them to choose?
Wolf of Wall Street. Wolf of Wall Street. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Ooh. Controversial.
It's more likely that more people are going to like that film than American Hustle.
I think so as well.
But I love the subtleties and emotion in America.
Yeah, I would just say to that audience member, just fucking go see both.
Yeah, of course.
Piece of shit. Just go see more movies.
Yeah, but... No, but of you course...
Of shit.
I mean, we see at least... we see a film at least a week. I know, week. And obviously people can't all do that. No. And
if you want to... I mean...
I think the average person sees no more than once a month, the thing, let alone that.
That's the thing with the Oscar nominations this year. Mm. There's actually some films I can recommend.
Mm.
It's like, go see, you know, Nebraska. It's a good film. Blue Jasmine is a good film. You know, fucking American Hustle. Mm-hmm. I can never, like, you know... What that year, that Crash one, I was just like, don't go see Crash.
Yeah, Crash sucks. Oh, it's horrible.
It's really not, didn't like it. It's not a good film.
It's just what was it? Tree of Life or what was it?
I don't think it won.
Did that get nominated?
Much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Slumdog Millionaire, honestly, what the fuck?
Yes. I didn't like it
at all.
That film started out well and then got worse.
I remember once going to see a real kind of Bollywood film.
Yes.
Well, it didn't have songs in it. It was like a drama.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like far better. I just remember enjoying that so much better than fucking Slumdog Millionaire, which was trying to be a Bollywood film. And it's just...
Ish.
I don't like that.
Really ish, because it was, you know...
It's just so unlikely, this fucking story. Anyway, we're not going to get into that. Let's move on to the big recall for this week.
Yeah.
I'm going to start.
No, you start.
I'm going to start. I saw a film last night. A film that I'd seen before.
Yeah.
But which I'd been meaning to rewatch ever since Prometheus came out.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what it is?
Well, what the hell else could it be?
Because when Prometheus came out, I rewatched Alien.
Yes.
My favorite one.
Yes.
The Ridley Scott one.
Yes.
I rewatched Alien 3.
Yes.
The not so good one. I rewatched Alien Resurrection, the funny one.
Yeah.
And I hadn't rewatched Aliens, which is what I saw last night.
I actually rewatched it recently.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did.
Aliens is still awesome.
But... Do you know what? For me, it doesn't hold up as well.
It's as not... Alien. Well,
it really doesn't.
They're very different films.
Do you know what? For me, I think that's what... shocks me is they are really different. They're very different,
yeah. But
I mean, obviously different directors and, you know, completely different style.
I mean, in terms of,
I'm not saying it's a bad film. I really love that film. I do, but it's so drastically different.
Yeah, I mean, I still prefer Alien, the first one. I think the atmosphere.
The concept of. I just don't like the way that aliens belittles the fear factor of Alien. Do you see what I mean? It's because it's just one alien in the whole film of the first one. And this one, there's hundreds and hundreds, you know, it's like...
But they get killed so easily as well.
Yes,
you can shoot them, they explode.
Yes.
Whereas in the first Alien, there's like one and people are just like, I don't know what the fuck to do. I've got a flamethrower.
So,
because they don't have really weapons. They've got a whole army.
I think I've shown you a bit of this already, there is a massive comparison to what you're talking about going on. So there was a game, an awful, 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 awful game called Aliens, Colonial Machine? Marines.
Yeah,
Colonial Marines, like, sorry. My voice.
It's not the new one that's coming out.
No.
That's Alien.
No, that's Alien Isolation.
Yeah, that looks cool.
That is Amnesia plus the first film. Like, Amnesia, the game, sorry, the first film.
Yeah.
Be made into a horror game where you don't have guns, you know, you only have tools.
Yeah.
You play as Ripley's daughter investigating It comes after the first film.
Wait, you play as Ripley's daughter?
Yes, Ripley's daughter.
Like the daughter that's mentioned in Aliens?
Yeah.
The one who got really old and died.
Yeah, because there's like a 60-year gap.
Yeah.
Between the first two films.
I guess she would have gone and investigated.
Yeah, exactly. So it's following that. It looks amazing. Yeah. I mean, it looks so good in terms of like the just because they take the look and the feel of the first film and they really nail it.
Yeah.
Right. Now, admittedly, we've only had a few like videos and screenshots and people's opinions of a demo.
Yeah.
So it's not
too early to say.
Yeah, it's too early to say, and we've all been burned by Colonial Marines because
that was really bad.
Well, that was really bad, but not only that, they released like some video of it. And it looked amazing.
Really?
Really, really good. And then it came out and it was shite. I mean, it was really, really bad.
Oh, shit. I've heard that that older game, what's it called? Aliens versus Predators or something like that. I've heard that's quite good. Like, that's scary.
No, but the point is no one's made something of the first film. Like a proper interactive experience of the first film. Because everyone went for the James Cameron, you know, horror effect, because everyone loves that band, and it's like, because they were like, oh, that film did better and it's easier to make something out of that, to expand on that, and for me Cameron belittles the fear factor of the alien.
Yeah.
And actually one of the scariest scenes in that film Aliens is with the small little creatures that you know try to implant you, are sometimes scarier than the big ones because they just get obliterated.
There's the one scary bit in Aliens was when they're in that room where there's like water tanks or whatever with some of the whatever they call the suckers in there, and one of them just moves suddenly.
Yeah,
that was scary as shit.
Yeah.
But that's something that would have happened in the first Alien. And I was watching and I was like, is it this one where out from behind a character you see a tail fall.
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
No.
That's Alien. That's a really good moment in Alien. So, I don't know. I really liked it. It's a great action film.
Yeah. It's a great action film. It is a different film.
You got a good cast and it's got... Yeah. It's just non-stop. And, I mean, it looks great.
It does look great. No, I like the look of it.
It's a good movie. But Alien just felt more... there's more atmosphere to it.
Of course.
There's more... It's intensity.
Yeah, but it... Yeah. Think of the directors. It's like, that's their style. That is completely their style. What does Scott do?
I guess like, each of them made... each of them made a film that was true to them, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And,
what I didn't notice is that you've got fucking Kyle Reese from Terminator in
yes,
Aliens.
Yes, yeah. Didn't you realize? No. You didn't realize?
I haven't seen that movie in like over 10 years. So it was good to watch it again.
He was big at the time. He was like, he was going to be some amazing, and then he only did a few.
He's a good looking guy.
Anyway.
Yeah, they tried to have a kind of romance between him and Ripley in that movie.
Mm, yeah.
But then Alien 3 comes in. It's just like, everyone's dead. She's pregnant with an alien.
Well, no.
Like, what?
Kind of everyone's dead every time. You know, everyone dies every time. Yeah. You know, that's partly the point.
I already forgot the end of Aliens. No, they don't all die.
No, they don't all die.
There's her,
but what I'm saying is, by the next film, the only person who is around is Ripley. That's
Jonesy made it out.
No, but he's not in.
He's in Aliens.
Whatever.
At the beginning, they're like Jonesy, and then you don't see him again. It's like, we're not taking the cat out again. Yeah. That's stupid. But it was made in 1986.
Yep.
The year I was born.
Oh.
Yeah. And I didn't notice when I saw it when I was younger, it's got basically the cast of Near Dark as well, which was directed by Catherine Bigelow, who used to be with James Cameron, so that kind of makes sense. They were basically kind of partnering on every movie they made. So. So I do still really recommend it, although Alien remains my favorite.
Nothing tops that.
Unbeatable so far.
Best representation of Geiger's.
And also, I kept thinking about Prometheus during this during Aliens. Now, Prometheus. Why?
There's no relationship whatsoever.
No, it's just the way they've approached the robot character.
Oh, okay.
Is interesting because Lance Henriksen, like Bishop.
Yeah.
Is he's a good guy, really.
Yes.
Like, they've built a robot that was actually...
Yeah, which is... It doesn't work for me.
Although, they kind of introduce... The bad guy is that guy who works for the company.
Yeah.
That nerdy...
Yeah, he wants to bring one back.
Yeah.
As egg form.
And there was that scene where they're just like, oh, no, we don't want to bring one back. We just want to kill them. And then Ripley's like, all right, then. He's just like, you believe him? He works for Weyland. The fuck? And obviously, he betrays her.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were little bits in there where I was just like, bullshit. Like the radar, there's like 1,000 aliens. Yeah. I was like, where are they?
Oh, by the way, that radar is in the new game.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they put that in. And it's like your only means of finding out where...
No, but that's the alien radar, not the aliens. The aliens one is like blue.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, yeah.
It's got a bigger range.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this one, yeah. No, I know what you mean.
The other one is scary because you just see 1 meter away.
Yeah. Well,
jazz hands. Remember that scene?
Yeah, I know. It's awesome. A bit silly, but yeah, whatever.
Still, it scared me at the time.
Yeah.
Yes. Kay. What do you recommend? Or not recommend? I don't know.
Mine's a bit more recent. We're going up to 1998.
98. The year I was born. Mentally.
What?
Don't know what the fuck I'm saying.
American History X.
X.
With Edward Norton.
That's the Vin Diesel James Bond Edward film, Furlong. Right?
Edward Norton and Edward Furlong are brothers.
Yeah.
And Edward Norton is a neo-Nazi.
Yeah.
And Edward Furlong is following in his brother's footsteps.
His scary ass brother's footsteps.
But we sort of jump to the future a bit, and
well, he gets into a
it flashbacks loads of times. Like, yeah. So I think the whole film actually starts in the future. Oh, by the way,
who directed this?
The director, is Tony Kaye.
Tony Kaye. Keep talking. I'm gonna look at what else he's done.
Writer, by the way, is David McKenna, and. The film, I don't know if other people have done this before or not, but it's like colour is future, black and white is past.
Oh, yeah.
It seems simple, but as far as I know, when I watched this, I hadn't seen anyone do it before.
No, it was really, I remember that. I was like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Good way to do it.
And I mean, lots of people have obviously done lots of different things to try and indicate the past, but this works, you know, in this particular film. It's a brutal film.
Yeah.
It's a really hard-going film, and I watched it a bit young, so a couple of the scenes in it, which I won't mention because they make me cringe just thinking about it, you know, are painful to even watch.
I remember it being a heavy watch.
It's very not an heavy.
Easy film to watch.
You hate Edward Norton. You like it.
Yeah.
It brings real hate. Which, by the way, is it's a compliment to this film to say that it brings real emotion out of people.
Yeah.
It's a very divisive film.
I remember when I saw it thinking. They can make a movie like this?
Yeah.
I remember being surprised that movie existed.
And if you do see this film and you hate the characters, don't hate the film for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because it's too easy to hate a film just because it's about a subject that is difficult to deal with.
Sure. I mean, there's films all the time, great films all the time, about characters that are, like, awful people.
Yeah.
Like Raging Bull, you know.
I know, but unfortunately sometimes that translates to people hating the whole thing. Like, was it Antichrist as well? Like,
okay. Well, it depends how you do it. You need to make, if they're horrible characters, you need to give your viewers a reason to, like, stick around. Because otherwise, what the fuck? Like, that woman from, like, Sandra Bullock in Gravity.
Yes.
I don't. Why am I meant to?
Because
like
she's
her?
Unengaging. You yeah. don't hate her. You hate what they've done with her. Yeah, I'm sure. But you don't. She's an unengaging character. So you're more apathetic to the whole reason she's.
Because I kind of identified with fucking Clooney, and I mean, like, if I was Clooney and I was working with this woman, I'd just be fucking losing patience. Like, I'd just be like, do your job.
So there's a really good scene in this whereby they're all around the dinner table.
Yeah.
And it's one of the scenes that's set in the past, and Edward Norton is really, really heavy into his neo-Nazi stuff. And there's a Jewish guy at the table, you know, and I won't say any more than that because it's like that's the setup. And then you just watch what unfolds, and it's horrible. It's really hard to.
And then there's a whole section that's in where he goes to prison as well. That's quite hard.
Yeah. And he has a change of heart. Like, you know, the Edward Norton's character has a change of heart in this. And
well, yeah, because he sees it from the point of view of a victim, I guess. Like, from...
Yeah, when, no, but he... No, it's not just that. Not he victim, he sees what the result of that thinking is. You know, he sees that it doesn't... The way his behaviour was, it doesn't bring you what you want.
No.
At all. You know, it's... But anyway, yeah, it's
one to watch. Like it's even if you're not gonna see it every day, it's watch it once and then you'll remember it for a while.
Yeah, exactly. It's a kind of film that burns into your memory.
Yep.
And yeah, that's all I'm gonna say about that.
You sound like Forrest Gump.
I know.
That's all I have to say about that.
Yep.
Yep. So two films to recommend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's time for the big game for this week. So, the big game for this week. We're trying to develop more games this year. Different games. Because we've been doing I Shat Myself and Kneel Before Zog. Quite often, so we're doing something a bit different. Last week we had the Trivia Pursuit, and I asked a question, which was, which of these films did not star Michael Shannon? And it was either Kangaroo Jack, Night of the Demons, or Groundhog Day. What is your answer, Jamie? I thought you knew the answer.
Groundhog Day?
No.
Oh!
He is in Groundhog Day, right at the end. It's Night of the Demons.
Oh,
which doesn't star Michael Shannon, but it does star Shannon Elizabeth.
That was
from American Pie.
Yeah.
So that was the answer to that. Now, we're going to try something a little different. We're going to try a game involving some really bad Sylvester Stallone impression.
Slah.
That's why I call the game... Slay, son of a bitch. This is when Sylvester Stallone and Sylvester Stallone reenact a scene from a romantic comedy, a lighthearted romantic comedy, and you have to guess which movie this is from. So if you know the answer, what movie is this from?
I don't know why he had to pick a weaker character
I'm a sly. I'm a sly character.
I can barely do sly. It always becomes Arnie.
Because it's funny. That's why it's going to be funny.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to get Jamie involved this time.
I'm really nervous.
Because you always just sit there looking at me awkwardly when I do my shit. This time, you get to be awkward too.
Okay. All right.
If you know the answer to what this scene's going to be, bigrewindpodcast@gmail.com is our address. And I almost forget it. And if you get it right, you'll get a shout out next week's episode. Are you ready, Jamie?
Kinda.
All right, I'll start.
I've been doing a lot of thinking, though, and the thing is, I love you.
What?
I love you.
How'd you expect me to respond to this?
Oh, but you love me too.
How about I leave it?
There you go. So that was a great scene from a romantic film showing Sylvester. Just so you know, Stallone's not in this movie. That's part that of the joke. That would
be brilliant if he was.
Yes. So you have to guess.
I love you.
How about I'm leaving? Yeah, we just make sounds and then that's. Yeah. So, yeah. BigRewindPodcast@gmail.com. Now, let's go straight to the shout outs for this week.
Oh my god!
Do you have any shout outs? I'm a bit low on shout outs this week because I'm a selfish piece of shit.
No, I am as well. I've been so busy. I haven't been able to catch up on my YouTubing and on my other stuff. Yeah. I would like to shout out something I've shouted out before.
Yeah.
But and I've been trying to pick up more of it recently as well. Me and my brother Dale.
Oh yes, of course.
We do Let's Plays.
Let's Play.
On Silent Consumer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just type Silent Consumer in all one word into YouTube, you'll get our channel. And we've been putting up some more stuff recently. We did a Ghost Recon Future Soldier thing where my brother literally goes mental at me. my brother can That's be a bit good. Abusive, and he's the younger one.
Yeah.
You know, so... Yeah, I hope, you know, you can watch stuff like that. I think we'll have some Call of Duty stuff going up. And I am a complete noob at Call of Duty because I don't really play that type of game. I play a lot of games, but I don't play that kind of game that often.
Need to practice, maybe.
Yeah. So, and you can look for more stuff on that channel because I'm trying to get into it more recently. So, cool. Yeah, that's my shout out.
It's a good
A chat. Selfish one, but hopefully for those who watch, entertaining.
Whoa, that's really nice, really nice. I'm just gonna shout out myself.
Yeah.
At the Retro Critic on Twitter and also retrocriticblog.blogspot.com is my blog where I review movies and games and.
Whatever. Oh, actually, I got a shout out. Michael Keaton.
What?
In RoboCop.
Why?
I hate you.
He's not even out yet.
I know I'm going to hate that film. I just think there's nothing... There's no hype about that film I don't dislike.
I like Michael Keaton, though. I'll shout out Michael Keaton as well. Because you're awesome.
It's literally like me from across the road. Oi! Keaton! Keaton. You're a fucking cunt!
That sounds like Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
Fucking Keaton!
Oi, Ford! Stop it!
Stop it! I told you before! This is more northern Ridley Scott.
Oh dear. Alright.
This is the end of the show.
Car!
Oh my god.
He does that!
He does actually. Car! Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week. We'll probably a review of Jamie's ass.
I don't know. Like you, what, grudge match maybe?
Oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah, I guess. Either grudge match or...
God, January is going to be truly over.
Oh, Inside Llewelyn Davis coming out, though. I want to see
true,
that shit.
That's true.
I'm going to see that shit. Anyway, thanks for listening. All see right. you. Bye. Bye.